ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। पंच कोप त्रिभुजशा कृपसिन्धवे विचा पद्म पावनेव्यो वैष्णवेव नमः नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास्तव गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। मुखम करोति वाचलम अंगम लंगिते गिरम यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणम्। I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, liver the all fallen souls, whose mercy turns the dumb into elegant speakers, enables the lame to cross mountains, and the dogs to swim across the ocean. So, then, thank you all for coming today, and also those who aren't here but are listening on the radio land. One of the 26 qualities of a devotee that he engages in, performs welfare work for everyone. So Srila Prabhupada established this movement in 1966, and you should understand this is not a social welfare movement. This movement were not meant for opening hospitals or opening schools or digging wells. Those are social welfare activities. But this our movement, two main functions. Prabhupada was in Mayapur and he was sitting in his room. He heard some noise outside. He looked outside. He saw some children were fighting with dogs over leftover prasadam. So he called in the management. He said, I want you to see that not one person goes hungry within 10 miles, radius of 10 miles from this temple. Every day should distribute prasadam. This is what we call food for life program. And this is going on all over the world. It's not a social, it is, we're giving people spiritual food. Even if a dog takes prasadam, he will get a human form of life in his next life. If people take spiritual food, prasadam, food that is offered to Krishna, then they will gradually become purified of all their sinful activities. Prasadam is our secret weapon, because when we talk to the atheistic people, when we have programs in public, they're not very interested. So we make something like peanut butter burfi or chocolate carob cookies, something that people can relate to. They take prasadam, they like that. So they're getting some agyata sukriti. It means they're getting some benefit, purification, even unknowingly. They don't want to hear the philosophy, they don't want to read the books, they don't want to chant Hare Krishna. But they take the prasadam and say, oh, this is very nice, yes, yes, we like that. So that's the quality that Srila Prabhupada performed And he gave the purpose of this movement. It's there to help the people discern reality from illusion, spirit from matter, eternity from the temporary, to expose the faults of materialism, to offer guidance in Vedic techniques of spiritual life, to observe and spread the Vedic culture, to celebrate the chanting the holy names of God as taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to help every living entity, every living being remember and serve Sri Krishna, the Personality Godhead. This is our mission statement. That we are doing the highest work for humanity at large. We see, first Krishna appeared. 5,000 years ago, Krishna appeared. Krishna appeared to deliver the pious, to reestablish religious principles. What is that verse? Mrinaya. Sadunam vinishaya chaduskritam. Can't find it. Anyway, Krishna comes to do reestablish religious principles, and when there's a need for that, and he comes to anyway, he comes to establish religious principles, to annihilate the demons, and to deliver the devotees. Krishnaya sadhanam nishkrita. Yes. So, when Krishna went to Mathura, he met one washerman, and he said that Krishna and his coloured friends went to Mathura. He met one washerman, and then Krishna said to the washerman, "You please give me some cloth, some clothes." The washerman said, "Don't be so impudent." Impudent means don't be so foolish. These clothes are meant for the king Kamsa. I can't give you these clothes, otherwise Kamsa will be unhappy. He'll certainly want to punish you. So Krishna, with his hand, he cut off the washerman's head. So this, of course, when Krishna kills someone, they also get liberated. But because the washerman didn't have any bhakti, didn't have any devotion, he couldn't recognize Krishna. But when Krishna went to Kubja, she was a hunchback lady who was engaged in making sandalwood for the King Kamsa. Krishna asked her for sandalwood. She gave him all the sandalwood. And because of that, Krishna put his foot on her foot, pulled up, put his hands on her cheeks and pulled her up, and made her into a straight, beautiful lady, and made her into a pure devotee. Because she had devotion for Krishna, so Krishna still saved, delivered her. So this was the mission. Lord Krishna came to relieve the burden of the earth and to deliver his devotees. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality Godhead, it's not a very difficult thing for him to rid the world of the demons. Just by his Mahamaya, potency. He could send one earthquake or one tornado, and so many thousands of people can be killed very quickly. So Krishna doesn't come for that purpose. He comes mainly to liberate his devotees. Sarvadhamma parikshaja mamaikam saranam braja hantvam sarvapabhanyo moksha shami matsuchaha. He comes to tell everyone, just give up all kinds of dharma, religious occupation, and just surrender unto me. But then we see the engage the welfare of all. The life of Ramanujacharya, his Guru Maharaj, gave him a mantra. He said, this mantra has the potency to liberate you, will liberate you if you chant this mantra. But you're not allowed to don't tell this mantra to anyone. So Ramanujacharya, immediately, he went on the roof of the temple, called all the townspeople, and said, if you chant this mantra, you will get liberated. Then he met his Guru Maharaj. After that, his Guru Maharaj said, well, I told you not to tell anyone this mantra. You're going to have to go to hell for this. And Ramanujacharya said, if this mantra can liberate the whole world, then I don't mind going to hell. And his Guru Maharaj was pleased with him because he had so much compassion and for the fallen conditioned souls that even at the risk of his going to hell, he wanted to distribute it to everyone. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago. Patita Bhavana Hetu Sava Avatar. He's called Patita Bhavana because he's deliverer of the most fallen conditioned souls. We see in the case of Jagai Mare, Lord Chaitanya sent Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda out to preach. He said, you go to everyone's house and ask them to chant Hare Krishna, study Srimad Bhagavatam, make your life successful. Go door to door. So they did that. And Lord Chaitanya said, then after days over, you come and report to me your results. So Lord Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda were doing that. And those who were pious people, they were happy to see them. He said, very good, we will do this. Yes, we will do. But those who were sinful, those who were envious, they said, these guys are crazy. Get these guys out of here. These are crazy people. Why are you coming here bothering us? So they weren't always successful. Even though they're pure devotees, Lord Nityananda, of course, is none different than Krishna, Balaram, Haridas Thakur, Namacharya. But they met some opposition. But then they were walking down the street and they were seeing that there was some men making a lot of disturbance. So he asked the people, local people, who are they? They said that is Jagai and Madai. And they're very bad, very sinful people. Don't go near them. Because they'll kill you. So Lord Nityananda decided at that time that he would, in order to glorify and exemplify the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that he will deliver these two drunkards, Jagai and Madai. So Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda, they went to those two drunkards and requested them, you chant Hare Krishna. And the drunkards, they started chasing Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda. And after some time, they were too drunk and too intoxicated to continue. And Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda got away. But Haridas Thakur said to Lord Nityananda, I don't know why you did that. We could have lost our lives. So they went to Lord Chaitanya and told him what happened. The next day, Lord Nityananda and Haridas Lakwal again went out to preach. And this time, they came upon Jagai Madai, and Madai took a clay pot and he struck Lord Nityananda in the head. And then he was going to do it again, but Jagai stopped him. So what will you gain by hitting this Avadut? So he asked Lord Nityananda, what's your name? He said, I'm Avadut. So what will you gain by striking this Avadut? Then Lord Chaitanya heard that Lord Nityananda had been struck on the head. Blood was flowing from his head. He came running there with his chakra. He was going to kill Jagai Madai. But Lord Nityananda said, no, no, no. You can't kill them. You have not come in this incarnation for that purpose. You've come to save the fallen conditioned souls, not kill them. So Jagai Madai, they surrendered to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And Lord Chaitanya delivered them. Then he made the condition that you not commit sinful activities again. Lord Jagai Madai were so sinful when Yamaraj asked his scribe, Chandragupta, to please you write down all the sins of Jagai Madai. So 1,000 scribes wrote continuously for 1 month, said, we cannot do this task. It's impossible to calculate, to write down all the sins of Jagai Madai. It wasn't a sin they hadn't committed. They would go and burn people's houses, kill cows, everything imaginable. And somehow they avoided the police. But the one thing they never did, they never committed Vaishnava Aparad, which is hard to believe because they went to so many houses, so many Brahmin houses, did so many things. Because they only associate with drunkards, they didn't ever commit Vaishnava Aparad. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya delivered them. And then Jagai Madai began to chant 2 lakhs, 200,000 times a day, 200,000 names a day. That's 64 times 2, 128 rounds every day. So this is the shows the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Pititi Bhavana. But the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were the direct associates of Lord Chaitanya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizing, studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds and worthy to take shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. I offer my obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who are very much enriched in understanding Lord Chaitanya and are thus expert in narrating his transcendental qualities. They can purify all conditioned souls in reaction of their sinful activities by pouring upon them the transcendental songs about Govinda. As such, they are very expert in increasing the limits of the ocean of transcendental bliss, and they are the saviors of living entities from the devouring mouth of liberation. So this is the quality of the six Goswamis. They stayed in Vrindavan. They were bhajanandis. There's two types of preachers, two types of devotees. One is bhajanandi, one is ghostiyanandi. The bhajanandi is only interested in his own spiritual advancement. So he sits in one place like Vrindavan or Mayapur or Jagannath Puri and chants 1 or 2 lakhs every day, which is very good. But then there's the ghostiyanandi. those who have have compassion for the fallen conditioned souls, and they're not satisfied to sit in one place and just chant for their own benefit. They want to also deliver the fallen souls. But the Goswamis, they were both. They were the best of Bhajanandis and best of Ghostianandis, because they followed the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and compiled many literatures for the benefit of all human society. And we have those, some of those literatures, especially Rupa Goswami compiled Bhakti Rasa Mita Sindhu, and the Jiva Goswami, he wrote many 400,000 verses, many, many books. Sanatana Goswami compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which gives the instructions on how on deity worship and how Vaishnava should behave. So they wrote many, many literatures describing the transcendental loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Some we can read, some we can't read at this stage. But they're all meant for purifying the conditioned souls, purifying the devotees, purifying all the living entities. So Srila Prabhupada wrote his books, and he also instructed us that we should read the teachings of the Goswamis, whatever is available, whatever we can absorb, whatever we can understand. Krishnadas Kaviraj, he wrote Govinda Lilamrita. Bhaktisiddhanta asked his father, Bhakti Vinod, can I print this book, Govinda Lilamrita? He said, yes, you can print two copies, one for me, one for you. Because this is an esoteric book. It means it's very intimate pastimes of Lord Krishna and his devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to deliver the most fallen conditioned souls, but he never preached about the intimate pastimes of Krishna publicly. He only spoke about this with his most intimate disciple. He had 3.5 intimate disciples: Ramananda Roy, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sarup Damodar, and Sika Mahidi. And Sika Mahidi's sister, 3.5. Is that right? Is that 3 or 4? It was Raghunath, it was Sarup Damodar, Sarvabhum Bhattacharya, Raghunath Das? No? Sika Mahidi, yeah. He says Sarup Damodar, Raghunath, Sarvabhum Bhattacharya, Sika Mahidi, and Sika Mahidi's sister. She was a half, considered half, 3.5. She was an older, elderly lady. So, but of course, Lord Chaitanya comes to establish the Sankirtan movement. He yagna sankirtan prayer, jani he samedishaha. In Sage Kali, there's many bad qualities, but there's one good quality, kirtanya eva, kirtan. So Lord Chaitanya said, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hivakevala, Kuluna, Stevena, 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 Katyaranyata. In past ages, there was different Yuga Dharmas. In Satya Yuga, was meditation. In Treta Yuga, it's fire sacrifice, Yajna. In Dwarpa Yuga, it's elaborate temple worship. And in Kali Yuga, none of these things cannot be performed. Only thing can be done is the congregational chanting of the holy name, Harinam Sankirtan. So this is going on all over the world. Lord Chaitanya predicted that the chanting of the holy name would be spread through every town and village. This was the desire of Lord Chaitanya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, great Vaishnavacharya. He also exhibited this quality for engaging in the welfare of all people. He wrote over 100 books. The devotees were in Canada. They found a book, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya, in English. They found it in the library. They brought it to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada asked them, "Did you steal the book?" They said, "Yes." He told them, "Okay, take it back." But I don't know if they did that. But this was the contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He wrote many songs, many books on the establishing the Siddhanta of Vaishnava philosophy. Before that time, there was many different kinds of philosophies that were not in line with our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Many different sampradayas were sprung up that are not bona fide, that they're teaching the something the opposite of the proper Siddhanta or the proper teachings of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So after Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 13 children, he prayed for a ray of Vishnu, someone who could come and preach this Krishna consciousness. And that was Bhaktisiddhanta. Bhaktisiddhanta spent 9 years of his life chanting the holy name. He made a vow to chant so many names. What was it? 10 million names? So after that, he began his preaching movement. And he established 64 mats. Did so much preaching. His life was glorious. Bhaktisiddhanta, sold-out servant, lifelong brahmachari, completely dedicated to preaching. He preached very strongly, very vigorously, very boldly. He's called the Sima Guru. When the Mayavadis would see them, they'd run in the other direction. They were afraid of him. But he preached to one professor from Europe. The man was had a nervous breakdown. So he was a very heavy preacher. But still, he would preach so, convinced so many people. And his life was glorious. So you can read his life, his biography is there. Bhakti Vikas Swami, he wrote the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta. And whatever Bhaktisiddhanta did, that's the same thing that Srila Prabhupada did. Prabhupada said his only qualification was he just simply followed the orders of his spiritual master. He didn't deviate. Whatever Bhaktisiddhanta did, Prabhupada did. Book distribution. Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta at Vatican. He said, "If you ever get money, you print books." So Prabhupada did that in a very grand way. Once in LA, he wasn't in LA, he told the disciples that Chaitanya Charitamrita, the printing is too slow. They were printing one book a month. He said, "I want you to print 15 books in 2 months." They said, "Prabhupada, that's impossible. We can't do that." Prabhupada said, "Impossible. That's a word in a fool's dictionary." So they said, "Oh, they couldn't do it," but they did it anyhow because Prabhupada gave them the order. He thought it was so important that this book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, become available in the English language. Bhaktisiddhanta said, "If you're drowning in the ocean, you can take Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita with you. But if they get too heavy, you can drop the Bhagavad Gita Srimad Bhagavatam, but you must always carry Chaitanya Charitamrita. He ordered his disciples to read Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat 100 times. 108 times. He told them to read that 108 times. So this is their contribution. Another story. Haridas Thakur, Namacharya. He was arrested by the Muslims. He went to jail. So when he went to the jail, he said to the prisoners, "Now you all, stay where you're at." But they weren't hardcore criminals. Somehow they were in prison. So they became a little morose. "Well, what do you mean, stay? We don't want to stay in jail." "No, no." When Haridas Thakur went to that place, he gave them Krishna conscious. He made them all Krishna conscious just by his presence. He said, "No, what I mean, you stay Krishna conscious. Don't go back to your old ways. In a few days, you're all going to get released from this prison. So don't go back to your old ways. You stay Krishna conscious." Haridas Thakur, the prostitute, came to him in the middle of the night. He said, "Yes, I will fulfill your desires. You just sit down here and wait. I have to finish my chanting. 3 lakhs." He was chanting 3 lakhs every day. So 3 times. She came for 3 nights. On the 3rd night, he said, "I know you, why you come here. But I would have left this place before, long before, but I stayed here just to deliver you." So he told that prostitute, "You give away all your possessions. You come here, shave your head, wear only one cloth. You come here, sit here, chant Hare Krishna, and worship Tulsi." So that prostitute did that, and she became a great Vaishnavi. So every day she would chant 300,000 names, as Haridas Thakur instructed. She ate frugally, which means that you take only what is required to maintain body and soul together. 1/2 prasadam, 1/4 air, 1/4 water. And this way she controlled her senses, and she became a great Vaishnavi. So this is the mercy of Haridas Thakur. He was able to do this, to perform welfare for so many people, just by seeing him. So just by seeing a Vaishnav, 1/11th of a second associating with a Vaishnav, one can make so much benefit. Says if you bathe in the Ganga, you'll get purified after many, many long time. But just by meeting a Vaishnav, pure devotee, you can get purified just by that one meeting. And Prabhupada had that potency to those who were submissive and humble, who met Srila Prabhupada. They were moved. They were impressed enough to take up this Krishna consciousness movement, take up this Krishna consciousness. So this doing welfare for others described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text number 25. Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, who are always busy working for the welfare of all living entities, are free from all sins, achieve liberation to the Supreme. Purport. Only a person who is fully in Krishna consciousness can be said to be engaged in welfare work for all living entities. When a person is actually in knowledge that Krishna is the fountainhead of everything, then when he acts in that spirit, he acts for everyone. The suffering of humanity are due to forgetfulness of Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme provider, and the supreme friend. Therefore, to act to revive this consciousness within the entire human society is the highest wealth of work. One cannot be engaged in such first-class lawful work without being liberated in the Supreme. A Krishna conscious person has no doubt about the supremacy of Krishna. He has no doubt because he is completely free of all sins. This is the nature of divine love. A person engaged only in ministering to the physical welfare of human society cannot factually help anyone. Temporary relief of external body and mind is not satisfactory. The real cause of one's difficulties, the hard struggle for life, may be found in one's forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Lord. When man is fully conscious of his relationship with Krishna, he's actually a liberated soul, although he may be in the material tabernacle. So there are many kinds of welfare activities. We just talk welfare associations in this world. We're attributing food to people or giving people shelter or clothing in this way. But it's not said, they're not helping that person. Sometimes devotees would do a play. The man would be drowning in the ocean. His friend would come and try to save him. And he'd come back with his coat and say, "I saved him, I saved him." No, you didn't save him. You only saved his coat. So that this is what they are doing. They're trying to save the temporary body, but they're not actually saving the person, the soul within the body. So this cannot be considered welfare work. It's only based on sentiment, not based on knowledge. So the pure devotee, the Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee of Krishna. He didn't have any motivation. He only wanted to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. So he was, because he was pure, he could do that. Without being pure, one will not have potency to spread Krishna consciousness. So, here in this book, they wrote a book, Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Qualities, describing performs welfare work for everyone. It is stated in the Krishna book story of Sudama Brahmana that when loving service is rendered to Lord Krishna, entire creation benefits. Thus, a pure devotee Lord who always engages in devotional service performs welfare work for everyone. This welfare work is nothing like mundane philanthropic work, which provides unfortunate persons with material facilities to temporarily offset their suffering condition. That is meant to completely eradicate them from material existence and award them an eternal blissful life in the spiritual realm. Srila Prabhupada served Lord Krishna wholeheartedly without deviation during his lila among us. In this way, he benefited the entire world indirectly by his own pure devotional service and directly by offering a potent spiritual program capable of eradicating the material existence of anyone who takes to it seriously. His welfare work does not stop with his physical disappearance, however, as the preaching force he set in motion will continue to spiritually uplift the inhabitants of this planet for the next 10,000 years, far exceeding the meager philanthropic activities performed by those absorbed in bodily concept of life. So, materialists have not yet recognized what the Krishna conscious movement is doing the best welfare activity for the whole world. There's still many demons in the world that are opposed to our activities. When they devotees were trying to get land in Delhi for the Delhi temple. People in the government thought that the devotees were with the CIA. The CIA, that's like secret police in America. Of course, that's absurd, you know. Srila Prabhupada would say, what is the CIA doing, rising, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, shaving their heads, wearing dhoti kurta, going on the street chanting Hare Krishna? Who can imagine a CIA man doing that? But this is what they believed for many years. They believed it, even to this day, some people still believe that. They can't understand how we're maintaining ourselves. Prabhupada's program was just simply by selling books they were able to maintain their temples, maintain themselves. So they couldn't understand this. They thought we were spies or somehow we were doing some underground work to get money. So the in personless, they can't, the Maya bodies, they can't help anyone. Those who engage in welfare work, we're reading about welfare work, like the Ramakrishna Mission, that's also a charitable organization. Because they're only giving temporary relief to the external body and mind, which is not satisfactory. The real cause of one's difficulties, the hard struggle for life, may be found in one's forgetfulness of relationship with Krishna. This is called Sambandhan Gyan, reestablishing our relationship with Krishna. Until one does that, he cannot be happy in this world. Dukkayalama Shaswatam, material world, from the highest planet to the lowest, the places of misery, repeated birth and death, misery and suffering, where repeated birth and death take place. So as soon as you take birth in this world, you're sure to die. And as soon as you die, you're sure to take birth again. The living entity, we are the eternal servants of Krishna. But due to our misuse of our independence, we've come in this material world. And when one comes in this material world, he gets a false ego. And this false ego comes with the mind intelligence of false ego. It's a subtle body. We have a gross body and we have a subtle body. So this false ego accompanies the soul from one body to the next, keeping him bound up. And we're bound up in the material world eternally. It's not possible to get out of the material world unless one gets the mercy of a pure devotee. Gets the mercy of the holy name. We're chanting every day, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we should pray to the holy name for mercy. That the holy name is non-different than Krishna. It's Namasitanya Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The name and Krishna are non-different. When we're chanting the holy name, Krishna is dancing on our tongue. But we don't understand this. We're not experiencing this because we have a problem. It's called avidya. Avidya means ignorance. It's compared to jaundice. When someone has jaundice, sugar candy tastes bitter. But sugar candy is always sweet. It can never be bitter. But it's bitter to one who has jaundice. So we're all in this jaundice condition. And it's called ignorance. If as long as we're in the mode of passion and ignorance, then we can't relish the holy name. As long as we're offending the holy name, we cannot understand the nature of the holy name. But if one chants the holy name even one time without offense, everything will be revealed. So we have to pray every day, pray to the holy name, that I can chant without offense, attentively. There are 10 offenses to chanting the holy name, and the last offense is to be inattentive, to maintain material attachments even after understanding some instruction on the subject matter. It means thinking I, me, mine. Everyone is thinking I, me, mine. Whatever the pauper is proud of his penny. I, me, mine. So we have to give up this conception. Draupadi, she was dragged into the assembly of the Kurus during the gambling match. They wanted to disrobe her in public, which was an abominable activity, very horrible activity. No one spoke up, except for Vidura. So she was in desperation. She was holding on to her sari, her cloth, whatever cloth she had. So Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu, was in Vaikuntha, and the goddess of fortune noticed he was smiling, and she was saying to him, "Your devotee is in trouble, why don't you help her?" And he said, "Because she's still attached, still has attachment." And when she put up her hands and said, "Hey Govinda," then Krishna supplied, incarnated as a sari. And no matter how much they pulled on her cloth, trying to disrobe her, more and more cloth came. So as long as we're holding on to material desires, material, holding on to the I-me conception of life, then we will not be able to become fully Krishna conscious. Inattentive. If we're inattentive, if we're not hearing the holy name, we're chanting, our mind is wandering, still we have to bring it back. Try to hear just the sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this way, we have to chant with enthusiasm, confidence, and patience. When a lady gets married, she wants to have children, but she has to be patient. It takes 10 months. They say 9 months. Prabhupada says 10 months. So we endeavor with enthusiasm and determination and patience. It's not that we're going to become Krishna conscious overnight. It takes some time. And cleaning the heart is a difficult thing. Dirty things in the heart. But still, we should follow the principles strictly, be engaged 24 hours a day. Take the time to read Prabhupada's books. We should be, every day we're praying to Prabhupada because of his mercy, his compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. He came to us to give us his highest welfare activity of spreading Krishna consciousness. So this Krishna consciousness, this is a movement. When Prabhupada went to San Francisco, he had to leave San Francisco to go to India. He said, "Now, I want all of you to push on this movement." At that time, there was only a temple in New York and San Francisco. They didn't even know they were in a movement. They said, "What? Movement? Movement? What does that mean? What movement?" The Prabhupada had the vision to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He sent his neophyte devotees all over the world preaching to establish centers, open centers. The only thing they had was Prabhupada's mercy. There wasn't even any books at that time. Only a few books and whatever they heard from Prabhupada and the Holy Name. They went. One devotee went to Germany. His name is Krishnadas. He was 20 years old. He sat down in the street in Germany, just chanting Hare Krishna alone. People came. He started a center. So all of a sudden, movement started to expand. They went to England. They went all over the world. Prabhupada sent Brahmananda to Africa. He went to Africa with $10 in his pocket. So this way, these people who were dedicated to Prabhupada risked their lives, risked their everything they had for the wealth, for spreading Krishna consciousness. They took up the mission of Lord Prabhupada's mission. They knew the urgency they could see the condition of human society. And today, after 20, 30 years before the degradation of human society has quadrupled, more than six times, everything has increased. Crime has increased, divorce rate has increased, people in prison has increased, drug rate, people taking drugs has increased, everything is increasing more and more and more. What America was supposed to be the best country in the world. Everyone was proud of America, the best country in the world. So advanced, materially advanced. But why? What happened? Why the people are not happy? 20% of the people are taking antidepressant drugs. What happened? They're not happy because these things are not the things that will make people happy. Only this chanting of Hare Krishna and giving up their sinful activities, giving up meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. This way, people can be happy. So all you people, all you young men, have taken to this Krishna consciousness movement. You may not... Everyone in this movement is preaching. Simply by cleaning the temple. If you're cleaning the temple, you're preaching. Because you're facilitating the preaching. If someone's a pujari, he's preaching. Because people are coming to see the deities. Whatever activity you're doing, it's part assisting in the preaching movement. So, of course, as you advance in Krishna consciousness, then you can also go out and join the college preaching program, join the other programs, and preach more vigorously. But this is an interesting point. It can be elaborated on a lot more, how Srila Prabhupada performed welfare work for everyone in this whole world. And Lord Chaitanya also came to deliver not only this world, but the three worlds. Came to deliver everyone in the three worlds, from the highest planet down to the lowest. Take everyone back to Godhead. So his time is up. Anybody have any questions, comments? Okay. Where is Srila Prabhupada? Hare Krishna.